All right, let's talk about the Jewish approach to Parnassa. Now, again, you probably had some sort of schmooze about this when you're in Sem, but now that you're out of Sem and you may be working or thinking about working or thinking about going to college or thinking about marrying someone who's working, or I would imagine everybody here is will have to work a little bit. So let's talk about the Jewish approach to Parnassa. This obviously revolves around the dichotomy between bitachon and hishtadlus. Right, bitachon being faith and ishtados meaning the effort that we have to put in, but it also it details you know involves a details of the mindset and the hashkafa and the whole background in terms of Parnassa. So naturally, a massive topic. Let's do what we can, and hopefully this will help. If not, shift the mindset, at least give you like a chazara in terms of what the mindset should be when it comes to Parnassus. If you look for sources, so the first thing that comes to mind is Dvarim Perik Ches. Right? This is straight up in the Chumash. People kind of assume that this is maybe I don't know, for Musar Sfarim, and it is. It's all over the Musar Sfarim and all over contemporary Chachamim, but this is Beferish in the Psukim. So let's read some of the Psukim in Perik Ches. Dvarim Perik Ches, basically Moshe is giving Musar Shmuz to Am Yisrael, as you guys know. I've said a bunch of times that Dvarim is like a Musar Sefer. So if you read it, Perek Gimel, right, Pasuk says, "Vayanchav vayarivecha vayichilcha saman asher lo yadata v'lo yaduna avosecha." Shem gave you guys the man, right? Laman hodichacha ki lo al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam ki al kol motzav pi Hashem yichyeh ha'adam. The Torah says, "What was the purpose, right, for the man, right, so that Hashem should tell you, just literally translating the words, that it's not on bread that man lives." It's on whatever comes out of the mouth of Hashem is what man lives on. And again, the idea, Moshe harping on the idea that it's not the bread. It's the Hashem gives us the bread. The bread comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A few psukim later, it says, be careful, right? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, right? Be careful not to forget Hashem, right? Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, Pentochav Savata, maybe you will eat a lot and you'll be satisfied. Ubatim Tovim Tivnei Vi'ashavta, and you'll have a nice house and you'll dwell securely in them. Uvkarchav V'tzanechar Yerbiyun, and you'll have a lot of cattle. V'kesef V'zahav Yerbelach, and you'll have a lot of money. V'chol Asher Elcha Yerbe, and you'll have a lot of possessions. V'ram Levavecha, and then your heart will become haughty. V'shachachta Hashem Elokecha, and you'll forget Hashem. Right, Hamochi, okay, who did all these things for you, etc., etc., right, who gave you the man, right, v'chule, right, that Hashem took care of you, v'amartal b'lavecha, pasuk yid zayin, you'll say in your heart, kochi v'yotzim yodi osa li ezachayel hazeh, my own hand and the strength of myself made for me all this success. Pasuk yid ches, v'zachartal z'Hashem Elokecha, right, remember Hashem, ki hu hanusein lecha koach lasos chayel, he is the one who gives you strength and abilities to accomplish, l'man hakimis b'risawish, okay, etc. So Moshe has already given this to Bnei Yisrael straight, right? It's straight up in the Psukim. Parnassus is from Hashem, success is from Hashem. Anything that we accomplish, right, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't forget it. If you're very successful, don't forget that it all comes, right, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're looking for Gemaras that talk about this, so again, we also have Gemaras, just to list a couple. We'll talk about a few more a little bit later. But the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Vav has a pretty well-known Gemara called Yagati Matzati Tamin, that if a person says, I put in the effort, Umatzati, and I was successful in learning, so then Tamin, then you should believe him, right? But don't believe him if either, right, he didn't put in the effort, right, or he didn't find any success, right? Okay, fine. But long story short, the Gemara says that's only by Torah learning that a person's right effort, right, is gonna create a success. But by business, right, that's all, right, siyata dishmaya, right, that is all Kosh Baruch Hu helping us out. And again, our tzlacha in Parnassa is from HaKosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Beitza and Daf Tezayin, again, you've heard this before, that all persons' needs are decided and fixed on Rosh Hashanah, right? Except for three examples. Except for three exceptions. What are they? You guys remember? It's okay if you don't worry. It's you basically a person's Parnassa is fixed on Rosh Hashanah, except for what a person spends on Shabbos and Yom Tov and education for your kids, and Jewish education for your kids. So again, but everybody harps on the last part of it, but the first part of it is most important, I would argue, right? Everybody's parnasa is fixed from Rosh Hashanah. We get a decree, Kosh Baruch Hu says, you're getting X number of dollars, you're going to end up with this amount of money, the end, full stop, doesn't matter, right, what you do. And the parnasa that we get comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is, right, we do have a chiyuv of hishtadlus. Right, so again, that's what we talked about right now, right, from the psukim and the gemaras. That's our bitachon. Our bitachon is Hashem's got our back. Hashem is giving us whatever we have. But we do have a concept of hishtadlus. We do have to put in the effort. What does that come from? What is that? What is that? Where is that? What is that? So we're going to quote again. I don't know if it's necessarily in any order, but we're going to quote a couple of the more achronish, the more modern Hashkafa Rabbanim, Svarim, etc., whatever you want to call it. Obviously, they quote all of the many, many old sources, but in no particular order. Let's start with Rav Melech. Rav Melech Biderman talks about this in almost every pamphlet. I have all the pamphlets. Again, he comes out with a new one every parsha, and I basically 1 year I just bought all of them and kept all of them. So I have, like, 3 years ago, I have all the pamphlets. Not from this year, not from the year before, but I just kept, because they weren't putting out. He doesn't have Sfarim on Parsha because they keep on putting out them. Anyway, long story short, in almost every pamphlet, he talks about this, that parnasa is from Hashem. It's not totally on your efforts, etc. He explains, and based on the Chofetz Chaim and others, that the effort that a person puts in is basically the curse that Hashem cursed Adam HaRishon with, right? Adam HaRishon, obviously, in Chava did the chait, right? Chava, you guys know, right? Childbirth, etc. Adam was cursed, right? That by the sweat of your brow, right, you will eat bread. Really, the idea being that we don't work for our money, right? Hashem gives us our money, right? The single requirement is that we have to work for it. But the money does not come from the work, right? The work is not what creates the money. The money comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think it's the Chafetz Chaim, he quotes, it says that we have to view the work as a curse, not a means, right? It's a curse, right? Hashem will give us our parnasa, yeah, but as long as now, after the sin of Adam HaRishon, as long as we, quote-unquote, pay the tax of hishtadlus, right, of putting in effort, as long as we pay the tax for b'zeis hapecha tocha lechem. So as Rav Melech points out, I think he writes, I forget which parsha he writes it on, but it's if you view hishtadlus as a tax in order to get your parnasa, right, we have to pay the taxes to the government so we can make sure we get our money. So imagine, right, if the government would withhold salaries, right, and we would pay whatever the percentage is, and then we would get our salary. So who in the world would pay extra taxes in order to get their salary, right? If your salary is $100,000, let's say, for example, in some crazy government system, right? That let's say that goes to the government until you pay your, I don't know, 10% tax. So why would in the world would you ever pay 12%, right? Just pay your 10% tax and you get your 100,000. So it says Rav Melech, why would a person do more hishtadlus than is necessary? And we'll talk about how much exactly is necessary. Obviously, that's not going to be a fixed amount for everybody. But why in the world would you work yourself to the bone if you're getting, I don't know, 100,000? The hishtadlus is the effort is what you have to do, but why would you ever put in more effort for that? It doesn't correlate to the more money that you get, right? Obviously, this is diametrically opposed to Western view of how hard you work and how obviously they put it, you have to work for your money and whoever what's the phrase? You have to, like, crush it or I forget the slang. You guys probably know better than I do. Whatever it is. Person's hustling, that's whatever. But if you hustle all the time, right, if you have 16 jobs and you're working 28 hours a day, so you'll be successful. Jewish philosophy is not like that, right? Jewish philosophy views the work as a tax. So, similarly, says Rav Melech, we sing a song at the end of Shabbos. Not everybody does. I happen to sing it right after Avdallah. Some, I think it's more common in Sfardim than Ashkenazim. Maybe Zareinu v'kaspeinu yarbe kachol, right? Let our children and our money increase like sand. So says Rav Melech, why do we group those two things together? They are nice things to ask for, children and money, fine. But why are those mentioned back to back? So he says, because we have to view them the same way. Just like if two people, let's say two, yeah, let's take two examples, two of you people. Well, not you people, because there's a little bit of negativity here. Two Jewish women get married. Right, one has a family, they have 10 kids. Another woman has a family, she has two kids and didn't have so much success, right? A little bit of difficulty having kids. And let's say each one of those families then had 10 kids each, right? In the family with 10 kids, each of the 10 kids had 10 kids. And in the family with two kids, each of the two kids had two kids. But when those two women meet each other in the street or at neighbors at 80 years old, is the woman who had two kids blaming that on the woman who had 10 kids? Does she think, oh, if only I would have had a couple of your kids, then I would be happy? No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, no one thinks that. No one thinks that someone else is getting, extra neshamas or something stupid like that. Now, there is could be someone is, I don't know, disappointed or jealousy or whatever. That's already after we're going to be talking about. But no one thinks that someone else's success in having kids impacts their ability to have kids. Right, so same thing we have to view about Parnassa, right? Same thing in terms of money, right? It's ridiculous to be jealous of someone else's success, right? We're, human nature is that we are, but it's ridiculous to be jealous of someone else's success because it's not for you, right? It's not shaykh for you. It's not shaykh to say, why does that guy have more money than you? Right, because it's the same way it's not shy to say why does that woman have or the, why does that guy have more kids than I do? It's nothing to do with it. It's completely not relevant. Right, their success in having children is not has nothing to do with your success having children. Mitzvah Shem, you should be zocheh to have many. And it, similarly, right, their success in Parnassah has nothing to do with your success, right, in Parnassah. Right, the phrase in Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Ches says, "Ein adam nogea b'muchan l'chaveru afilu k'malei nima." A person does not touch what is prepared for his friend. Even as much as like a shoelace or a worm or whatever, I forget exactly the translation of Malay Nima. I think it's a shoelace, right? You can't touch anything that is prepared for your friend. It's not relevant. It's not shaykh, right? It makes no sense to become jealous of somebody else because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has decided that this is for you and you'll get what you get, right? We can't infringe on right your friend's parnasa as much as you could infringe on your friend's ability to have children. Fight. Says Rav Wolbe, right, in Sefer Alei Shor. Fascinating. If you never read Alei Shor is awesome. Very underrated. I feel like some people learn it, but Alei Shor is tremendous. So he writes as follows, that Jews, in the topic of Parnassah and Hishtadlus and this type of stuff, Jews root themselves differently in the world than Goyim. But he quotes a Futner, and who points out that non-Jewish philosophers, right, struggle to fit God, right, into their world. Now, the reason why is because they're rooted firmly in the physical world. So they struggle to figure out if there is a God, how does he exist, did he create the world, etc. Jews are the exact opposite. And since we're rooted in godliness, we therefore struggle to fit the world into a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And after all, how can we fit a physical world into Hashem? We know it ain't old milvado, etc. So we do the opposite. And since we're rooted in holiness in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Hashem accompanies us everywhere. We have bitachon that is using hashgacha pratis to take care of us, etc. So the question becomes, right? If everything is from Hashem, literally everything, so why in the world should we put any effort into working for a living? What is the purpose of that? If we have, let's say we're proper bitachon, that Hashem runs the world. So Hashem's going to give us our money. We know, again, we know the Gemara, we get money from Rosh Hashanah, it's all decided. So why do we put in this effort? The Gemara in Kiddushin, he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Pei Beis, already deals with this. Right? He said, Rosh Hashanah Elazar says he never saw an animal, like, hold a job. Animals don't sell merch, they don't cut trees, they don't, plow fields, whatever. They get their parnassah without any effort whatsoever, right? They just have food everywhere. And they were only created to serve man. Man, who was created to serve Hashem, why doesn't man also get the same treatment? So the Gemara answers, because we messed up. Because we messed up our actions, right? And our parnasa, quotes Poskin, Yirmiyahu, etc. Says Rav Wolbe, when do we mess up? So that's also going back to the reference of Adam HaRishon, right? And Hashem's subsequent curse, that b'zeis hapecha tochal lechem. And Hashem punished us that we have to do this hishtadlus, we have to put in the effort. Explains Rav Wolbe, unbelievable pshat. He says Hashem in his ultimate kindness, right, does not bring curses upon men that doesn't have a tikkun to it, that doesn't have some sort of fix. I mean, Hashem doesn't punish randomly. He's not just like out here, just like, shooting people in the whatever, in the face. He's giving us things that can help fix what we messed up. And what he explains as follows: after the chet of Adam Harishon, good and evil were mixed into everything. Right before, evil was outside man, and then once he sinned, right, he brought it inside himself, and he also, right, mixed it up. Right, there's an Ibruvia, there was a mix-up, right? And good and evil were mixed together. You find this in Mesillas Yesharim, you find this in Nefesh HaChaim, right? Okay. So if a man wanted to grow again, right? So man's avoda at that point was to clarify the good, was to sift out the good from the bad, right? In all physical things. Right, if a man wanted to grow grain, right, he had to weed out the bad plants. If a person deals in valuable metals, right, in gold and silver, you have to separate the impurities. Right, that was true in all physical things. It's also true in spirituality. Right, when a person, it's not exactly the same mashal, but let's say when a person eats, right, so they make a bracha. Right, that has a combination of physical and spiritual, and you're taking, right, you're making a bracha, you're taking holiness, and spirituality, and improving and sifting that out of the physical, right? The eating then turned the physical turns into a good action, and you remove out the physical animalistic, right, just food aspect of that. Again, in our terms, right, the world after the Chet Avraham Rishon requires some hishtadlus to sift out the good from the bad, right? And therefore, in the realm of Parnassa, a person was given the following challenge, says Rawalbi. On the one hand, a person benefits from their efforts. Right, again, that a person, you know that if you put in work into something, right, you love that something. Right, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Ches, says that a person would prefer one kav is like a measurement, let's say 100 pounds of his own to 900 pounds of his friends. Meaning a person's work makes his results sweeter because he worked for it. Right, you would prefer, right, $1,000 that you worked for to more money that so was just gifted to you. You may not prefer that, but you will appreciate it and you will love it more. On the other hand, right, we cannot attribute the success that we have to our own efforts. Right, we just been talking for the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes that our hishtadlus doesn't create the success. But success comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to succeed. This is the challenge, says Rawalbi, we face by Parnassa. Hashem created B'zeis HaBecha Toch HaLechem to put us in a scenario where that we would have to work, but at the same time realize and have emunah b'tachon that the work is not what creates our success. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how, in the realm of Parnassa and working for our bread and our lives, our livelihood, that we kind of sift out the good, i.e., the bitachon, from the bad, from the kochi v'yotzim yadi, from the fact that you think that you're creating this. When we do the work, but at the same time realize that the work is not what creates our success, that's being mekadesh shem shemayim. That brings out the good right from the bad, and that's why we have a chiyuv of hishtadlus. That's Rav Wolbe. Rav Dessler writes in Nuchta Me'aleo, and you can find this in Strive for Truth, and you can find this also very well in World Mask by Rabbi Akiva Tatz, etc. Says slightly differently. He says, what is the purpose of Hishtadlus? That Hashem put us into a world where we cannot see physically Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, right? We seem to be in control, right? And a person can easily make the mistake of that person can think that their efforts is what contributes to their success. Our job in this world, again, the Rabbi Akiva Tatz loves this, is to peel back the curtain, right? Is to see that the world is really a mask, to see that really Hashem is the one calling the shots, right? That nothing happens without Hashem decreeing it, right? Even when we put in the Ishtadlus, the test is to be aware that our efforts, again, do not cause, right, the success to happen. When a person internalizes this, they bring holiness to the world, says Rav Dessler. They reveal Hashem Hashkacha, right, in everyday activities, your Mekadeshim Shemayim, by acknowledging Hashem's presence, right, despite the fact that it's hidden. And when we apply that to every single aspect of our lives, including the Ishtadlus and the work we put in Parnassa, that's the goal. That is that literally why Hashem put us in this world. I just got a text from a Baron Miriam graduate, she said she had left for camp, and she forgot her gum. And there was no gum in the vicinity, and she wanted to know if she could buy vegan gum. So I told her it's not ideal. Definitely we would prefer to have hechsher him on things. And she said, okay. And 5 minutes later, she sent me a picture that she had found her kosher gum in her bag. Clearly, obviously, that was just a test, and she passed. So realizing that test, right, is exactly the point. That, again, it's just some stupid, lost my gum, found my gum, like whatever it is. If you have the proper perspective that is a test, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, trying to have you reveal his, you can peel, that's peeling back the curtain, right? That's something that happened in the physical world, but you peel back the curtain and you see Hashem's hand behind it. That's what we're talking about, right? This concept, right, again, born out of the Chet Avraham Rishon, right, not only regarding Parnassa, Rav Dessler explains that in Gan Eden, obviously spirituality was reality, right, and the physical world was secondary, right, and when Adam was sinned, he was kicked out of that situation and everything was reversed, right, then the for us, the physical reality is reality and spirituality is secondary. And again, Hashem's punishments are never random, right? They're designed to help a person fix his sin. So what happened? Adam had to find the spirituality in the physicality because he had messed up the reverse. Right, and our job is to do that as well. And that's what they talk about again. And there are many things that explain this. But when you talk about tikkun achet, and we have to do a tikkun, we have to fix this world. That's part of it. That we have to find the spirituality in the physicality because Adam had the reverse, right? And he had that mistake. And this is our test in Parnassah. Rav Dessler has five levels when it comes to Ishtadlus and Emunah. Rabbi Akiva Tetz also lists this off. I'm not going to dwell on this now because it's available for you to read in both. You know, several English books. Most of us, just in a nutshell, most of us are on some variation of the third level. We understand that there's a shtadlis, but that there's Yad Hashem, but we still put it in our shtadlis. And whatever, go check it out. It's not really for us right now. Tov. Two more. Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim writes in Kuntres Tiferes Adam that we know that a person, again, as we mentioned in the Gemara in Beitza, that a person gets his money from Rosh Hashanah. So if that's true, that person has to realize why in the world would they ever do something in their hishtadlus that's usur? Getting moving on to a little bit towards the practical ramifications of this attitude. If we realize that Hashem is giving us bracha from Rosh Hashanah and the hishtadlus is just a tax or just a way to get to the hishtadlus, why in the world, wonders the Chafetz Chaim, would anybody do anything questionable that's halakhically questionable in their job? He gives the example of a barber that cuts peyos. If a guy asks, guy said, Jew sits down in the barber chair and says, cut my pants off. So he says, you violate many Yisurim with that. Why in the world would you do that? How much does a haircut cost? A few dollars, maybe now it's expensive, but a few bucks, right? Why is that worth it for him? Right? It makes no sense to cheat in business. Right? Again, we've mentioned that cheating in business, one of the things that a person is promised long life for. A person does not cheat in business, obviously. A lot of Yisurim involved in cheating in business. Why in the world would you do that? Just to quote unquote get ahead, if Hashem is the one who's giving you your money. Right? It makes no sense. Right? Why would you violate Yisurim? The money doesn't even stay, says Chavetz Chaim. If you violate, you get your money through illegal means. He quotes a pasuk in Sefanya that a person, Rachman al Islam, God forbid, will lose the money through illnesses or other losses or whatever. It doesn't make any sense. I've already told you guys the story of the poker player who would lose the exact amount of money that he would win. I told you this? Nod? No? I had a friend who was a poker player in college. Tremendous, tremendous poker player. Tournament poker player. You're talking, he's sitting at his computer playing online poker for maybe 6, 7 hours. He would walk away with, I don't know, 2 grand, 3 grand. He was unbelievable. And not every time, but he was extremely, extremely up in his winnings. And he stopped playing because he realized that every time he won a certain amount of money, he would lose it in some other area of life. Like he would win a tournament, he would come in third in a tournament and walk away with, like, I don't know, $2,800. And the next day he would need like repairs on his car. And the next day he would, like, you know, sit down and win also like $600. And then he, you know, a pipe would burst in his apartment. And it got so obvious that he was like, this is ridiculous. And he just quit. So that's the idea. I mean, there's no, if Kosh Baruch Hu wants you to get your parnasa, and I don't, again, I'm not weighing in on the legality of poker or whatever, but tachlis, right? Hashem wants you to get your parnasa in a mutter way. Why in the world would you do something that is usur, says the Chafetz Chaim, right? If, again, it's just a tax and Kosh Baruch Hu is giving you the money. So obviously doing something that's usur doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Rav Moshe Weiss writes in the Sefer Emunah Bitachon that there's a famous segula to say Parshas Haman. Anybody ever say Parshas Haman? Not Parshas Haman. It's Parshas Haman, right? It's not Haman. The Haman, the Mun, like the food that they got in the desert, right? But we say it's like the Psukim after Parshas in Parshas Bishalach after Az Yashir, right? Underrated part of Parshas Bishalach at the end. So again, there's an idea that, again, it's brought down Rabbeinu Bechaya, Mishnah Berurah, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch. There's a segula to say Parshas Haman. What is that? What is that? Like some, you know, fan? What's with that segula? So Rav Asher Weiss explains it because when you read that parsha, right, we remind ourselves that parnasa comes from Hashem. Even people in a desolate desert got exactly what they needed to survive. Right? It says, the pasuk says by the man, v'lo hedif hamarbe v'hamamit lo hechsir. Anybody who took too much didn't end up with more, and anybody who took too less didn't lose out. Meaning the man was magically exactly what they were supposed to get, even if they took extra or took too little. And so he says that's the model for parnasa. Right, for our parnasa nowadays. Our parnasa does not go according to our efforts or our abilities. It goes based on what a Kodesh Baruch Hu decrees. Whatever Hashem decrees, that's what we get. Exactly. Doesn't matter if you take more or you take less, that's what you're getting. Right? Only ishtadlus we have to do is normal, healthy ishtadlus, realizing that the parnasa comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why we say Parshas Zaman, because it reminds us, right? The Kavana, right? Or reminding ourselves of where our Parnassah comes from. You could be in the desert, you could be desolate, you could be in the most terrible situation possible. Kosh Baruch Hu is giving you Parnassah, full stop. It doesn't mean, again, without getting into the Emunah and the Hashkaka, you remind yourself, right, where the money actually comes from. Gemara says in Nida, Daf Ayin, right, it's Rav Osher Weiss quotes, that the people of Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, what should a person do in order to become rich? People in Egypt and Alexandria want to know, how do you become rich? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said, Yarbe b'schora, do a lot of business. V'yisev yitin be'emunah, do your business with emunah. V'yivakish mimisha osher shalo, and ask, daven, from who has the wealth. And Rav Asher Weiss points out that the Gra and the Meiri and others take out the words yarbe b'schora, that you should do a lot of business. It says that's not the point. The point is, yisev yitin be'emunah, you should do business with emunah. Right, because adding ishtadlus, right, does not have any impact on a person's parnasa. Naturally, okay, all right, we have to get a job, do business, not rely on a miracle, fine. But there's no mitzvah to work 16-hour days, right, in order to make a living. It doesn't help. The extra hours don't change anything. He has a fascinating language with the Meiri. The Meiri, again, a Rishon commentary on the Gemara. He says, "Vim libo note la osher." If a person's heart, right, is being pulled after wealth, afal pisha hatzlacha matas elokimi, even though that success is a gift from Hashem. The Pasuk says, "Liya kesef liya zav," that Hashem has the gold, Hashem has the silver. So, tzarchiv sheivakish rachamim al atzmo. Person should daven for mercy on themselves, lizkos b'chach, to be zocha to wealth. Again, if he has a taiva, if he really, really wants wealth. Mikomakom, however, oh, little boy, Eitan. Eitan, come say hi to everybody. Hello.
Can you
You had a scary dream? I'll carry you back to bed. Okay, give me one second. Tov? Okay, hold on. All right.
the
Poor
head?
guy. Poor guy. Okay. Where were we?
If a person's heart is
Oh,
being pulled
right.
away.
Nachon, in the middle of the Miri. Okay. So anyway, right. So, however, again, he says that a person should daven for if a person is desiring wealth, etc. So he should daven. He should put in hashtadlus, but he should umihu. However, ikar hashtadlus baze she nosim b'emuna. The ikar is that a person should do business, right, with emuna and bitachon. And again, like bottom line, like it says in the tefillah for and the parnasa for Shema Kolenu, it says hashleich. The pasuk says hashleich al Hashem yahavcha v'hu yachal kaleka. Right, you should throw Hashem your burden on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, and he will support you. The question becomes, right, what is the proper amount, right, of hishtadlus, and as you're probably aware, right, that varies. Gemara brachos and daf lamed hey, right, had the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Shimon bar Yochai as to what a person should do. And again, just cutting it quick. Basically, Rabbi Yishmael said, right, hanaheg b'cha minag derech eretz. You have to go according to the way of the world. The person got to get a job. And you can learn when you're not working. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, how can a person like work the entire time? He's going to plant his field. He's going to plow his field. He's going to reap his field. He's going to do all the stuff you need to do in the field. Torah matei alecha. What's going to be about Torah? Ella says, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, right? Bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. When Bnei Yisrael do what Hashem wants, malach nasis al yedei acherim. Their work is done by other people. Go to Pasuk, right? And they said, if we're not doing what Hashem wants, then we have to do our own work. And basically, long story short, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says we have to just sit back and learn. If we're doing what Hashem wants, sit back, relax, learn Torah, do the mitzvos, and Hashem will take care of your parnasa. So the Gemara says, what do you do, right? So if you have a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what's the deal, right? Who do we paskin like? So the Gemara actually doesn't say that. The Gemara says, fascinatingly, that harbei asu k'Rabbi Shmuel. A lot of people did like Rabbi Yishmael, meaning they had got a job and they also learned when they could. They also biyadam, and it literally means it came to their hands, meaning then they were successful and that worked out. The harbei asu, and then k'Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. A lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that just sit and learn and don't work at all. The lo also biyadam, and it didn't work out. And now that's famous, fabulous, fascinating. It doesn't say mutter and usser, right? It says that most people got a job and that worked for them, and most people, who sat and learned, it didn't work out for them, implying that for some, you could sit and learn, and Hashem will drop parnasa on your doorstep. And for some, right, working, but for most, working is appropriate. I mean, the implication being is that there's a sliding scale here. right? Depending on a person's level, that, on whatever level you're on, right? That's kind of the amount of hishtadlus that you have to do. That seems to be the implication. Rav Asher Weiss, right, tells a story about it. Again, it's a famous story of Rav Zusha of, I forget where he's from, Antoli or Pshischa, I don't remember, right, who needed to get parnasa for his yeshiva. And this, everybody has different variation of the story, right? This one is that he went to the rich guy in town, his house. He put his hand on the doorknob and went back to the base medrash. And his students, who obviously had accompanied him, right, asked him about it. Said, "What's up? You didn't even knock on the door." So Rav Zusha felt said that was his ishtadlus. And sure enough, the guy showed up that day with food, a check, etc., etc. So obviously, that's not us, right? But we fall obviously on a different part of the scale. But where do we fall on that scale? So again, before I heard from Rav Asaf Bednarsh, again, a very fascinating pshat. Two things I just two statements I heard from the opposite ends of the spectrum, and they're similar, and I'll just quote them because I think it's hilarious, not for any other reason. On the one hand, Rav Matisseo Solomon was who was the Mashgiach in Lakewood, which passed away recently, had a line where he said that we need to put less faith in our efforts and more efforts into our faith, which is cute. I like that line very much. And a football player that that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers named James Harrison once was asked about his massive physique. And he said, "I want you to pray as if everything depends on God. And I also want you to prepare as if everything depends on you. And with those two things, you can have the body of a Greek god." That's what he said. I thought it was hilarious. And Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdalos, not to compare those two, obviously completely separate and different types of people. But it's the same idea. And that we have to put in some sort of hishtadlus, but realize that everything depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Ben Arsh, again, he's a Rav in Gruss and in Gush, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He phrased that I did a lot of Hashkafa Shmuzim and Shirim with him. He has like a 10-part series on Wayu Torah if you're feeling advanced, right? They are advanced. He's fantastic. But he says basically as follows: most people can't handle the Nisayon. We are not on that level of Rav Zusha where we kind of like just put our hand on the doorknob and be done. We have to do enough hishtadlus so that you don't go off the derech if you're poor. What I mean by that is you need to work, we, myself included, certainly, to work enough so that you don't resent the idea that you have to have emunah bitachon for the other half. Let's say, again, it's a balancing act, right? We have to work enough so that we're not in danger of thinking, "I can't believe I listened to this crazy Rabbi Herman." It's, again, just to think about it. You need to get, let's say you need to make 100, I don't know, whatever your calculations are. You get married and you say, "I need $100,000 a year to live." So if you work for 60, right, and then let's say you need the other 40, but you just sit back and be like, "All right, Akash Baruch Hu, my husband's going to learn. I need the other 40,000. Drop it on my doorstep." So if that is going to cause a problem in your either Shalom Bayis or your Emunah Bitachon and Akash Baruch Hu, so then you need to get a job for that other 40. If you're going to sit back and be like, "Yeah, it'll be fine," and that's not going to impact your Avodas Hashem and your Emunah Bitachon whatsoever, right? So then, okay, yeah, you could, have your husband work half a day, learn half a day, and you're going to make, or you also, right? Again, whoever you guys break up the financial obligations in the family, and you could sit back and have a Emunah Bitachon for those 40, for the 40,000. But if you can't handle that, right? So then you need to go and do a little bit more ishtadlus to fill in those 40,000. Good. Does that make sense? Is that logical? And again, because no one here needs to be a martyr, right? Obviously, if the more Emunah Bitachon, obviously, the more you can get away with. But don't have fake Emunah Bitachon where now you're going to be like upset at Hashem or like upset at your husband or upset at something, right? You do what you can handle, and the ishtadlus, I mean, it has to cover, right, what you can handle, and anything else, right? Then obviously you can work a little bit less and learn a little bit more. Why am I giving this shir now, today? First of all, because I think it's very important, because we all eventually are going to have to deal with money. I think it's very important to start hearing these shmuzes before you're married, right? Because it dictates how you approach money, how you view your jobs, how you view the time spent working. There's no mitzvah for you or your husband to get, a 16-hour job, 16 hours a day. Right? There's no mitzvah to choose a job that is questionable, where the environment is questionable. right? The parnasa is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Our job is to pay the tax, right? Is to fulfill the curse. Right, the vault, right, with all your money is already prepared for you from Rosh Hashanah. Working is simply the key that opens the door. Right, the work is not what puts the money in the vault. The money is there. Right, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the work, the ishtalis that you do is simply the key. So why would you put yourself in a scenario where you have to get a weird, a questionable, a sub, you know, a objectionable type of key? Right, any key will do. Right. Again, it's not a specific hole over there, right? You have to do some sort of ishtadlus for you to be able to open the door. So don't do anything that is illegal, inappropriate, etc., etc. It's a super important approach. Mitzvah Shem, everybody should have easy money, easy situations. But in case it's not, right, again, you have this bitachon, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees our wealth, right? So it's not dependent on whether you work harder. Yes, you have to work 100%. You can't just chill, kick off your, you know, play video games all day, do whatever you want, watch Netflix, etc. Right, I in last week's here. But when you do emuna, when you do avoda, when you do work with emuna bitachon, like it will be said, you bring in a HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. You're mekadosh shemayim. We fix the sin of avodah v'rishon, etc., etc., etc. So it's not easy, but maybe we all be zochet to internalize this important concept. It'll make your life also less stressful. It make you happier, right? If you, you know, if all I can appeal to is your emotionals and selfish type of you know. But tacos, that's how we have to view by Munir or Parnasa. Shall be Zocha to internalize the message.
Oh man, thank you,
Amen.
Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a
My
good
pleasure, no problem.
day.
Thank you, Rabbi.